There's so much misinformation out there. You overpronate and you might need a stability shoe. If anyone's ever told you running's bad for your knees, slap them.
No offense to all the runners out there, but you're all pretty challenged.
Physical bent. Post run beer is one of the best beers you'll ever have.
You never feel shit after a run.
You'll get fit, you'll get strong, you'll get healthy.
Running is fucking awesome. Hi Mike, I'm Dutch. I work as a massage therapist.
My name's Pat. I'm a running coach, physio. I'm an avid runner myself. We thought we'd call the podcast That's Running.
Oh, welcome back.
Sweet. It's been a week and a half.
Maybe.
Something like that. It's hard to get together with this corona thing at the moment. But we're doing our best.
Yeah, it's like we should, but we shouldn't. But this is mainly just to shut up Luke Dutton, who's been requesting we hurry up with our next episode. So there you go, mate. Yeah. Stop complaining. Shut up and run. It's a freaking weird time. I really hope that everyone is coping out there, that people are still managing to get on with, you know, get it with their lives, but sensibly, responsibly, without being a social nuisance. And one thing that's huge for me at this point in time is just gratitude, really, and community. They're two words that are big at this point in time. Just grateful to have our health, to be able to run, to be able to still do what we want to do, which is just get outside and run. So I think most places in the world you still can do that.
Yep.
Apologies if you can't. But
sucks if you can't.
Yeah, to be able to keep doing that, we just got to be grateful. And if you approach running with that mindset at this point in time, I think you'll just have a nice, much better experience and nice for your mental headspace as well.
Yeah. And it's like, because there's a lot of, you can see there's a very negative thing. You can go, can't go to work, can't go to my favorite pub, can't catch up with my mates, or I can't race, all these things. But like when Patty and I met today, we're like, I fucking love this corona thing.
Yeah.
Because
yes, but no.
We don't love the corona. No one loves it. Because it's a bad thing and it kills people. But
for an isolated runner, it's like, no.
It's like I'm exercising every day, if not twice a day. I think in this month, I've had 3 days off.
Yeah.
Just because my body was like, hey, mate.
Yeah.
Back the fuck off.
Yeah. Next episode on how Mike injured himself.
Well, that's and I'm loving that part of it.
Yeah, it's really like simplified things, right? We don't have to commute to and from work. Everyone's got a little bit more time. Not everyone, I should say, but a lot of people have a little bit more time, a little bit more space. We can't go out and socialize. We can't go to the pub. So we actually have a bit more time. Things are a bit more simple. We can just run a bit more. And that's why running is so important for mental health at this point in time.
Absolutely. Like people that have been struggling and I've been talking to, I've said, you normally commute to work, how long? Half an hour. I'm like, go for a half an hour run. Make that your commute.
Yeah.
And then go home, shower, start your work day.
Start your day.
And then commute again when you go home, when you go out of the office.
Yeah. Go for a 30-minute walk in the afternoon.
Go for a 30-minute walk. Go home, make dinner. Enjoy your evening.
Yep.
But so you have a set sort of quote-unquote work day.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing is community. So I know we physically can't meet up at this point in time, but seeing the way a whole bunch of online communities have just come together at this point in time is tremendous. I was fortunate enough to be welcomed into a local running club online last week and was able to do a talk for those guys just on being smart injury-wise during this time. And seeing all these virtual runs pop up, virtual races, and a lot of support just out there in general for runners. So it's super nice to see that we got each other's back. That going.
And I think as a sporting runners community, we're really good at that. Just to go, we can't actually get together, so we'll band together online. And there's been so many new Strava groups I've been part of suddenly.
Yeah.
Because people are like, we can't track our runs, we can't share it. So just let's set a group.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to be on top of that fucking leaderboard.
Yeah. There has been a little increase in getting Strava segment crowns recently.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, well, then you can challenge each other that way. You normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's because there's so many other things.
Yeah, and you fit. There's no races. What can we do? Strava crowns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's find ways. There's other things. But we're way off where we want to go with this because we want to talk about hamstring tendons and touch a bit on adductors.
Yeah. Absolutely. So this episode is dedicated to Timmy up north in Hervey Bay, to Luke up north on the beaches, and to Ella as well. You three are the motivation for this one.
Yeah, because after Paddy put his post out saying, who needs physio, a lot of people reached that. And a lot of that was hamstring stuff.
Mm. Yep, it's in vogue at the moment, it seems.
It's the end thing to have, right?
Yep.
Also, we're going to touch on adductor strain, because Georgia reached out to us and was like, I've got this. Have you guys got a podcast? Not directly on it, but we can touch on it and have a quick chat.
Yeah. So when we're talking hamstring tendons, we're talking where it joins up to your butt. So your hamstrings run at the back of your thigh. They go from your knee all the way up to your bum. So basically your sitting bones. So when you're sitting down, that sitting bone you feel in your left, sitting bone you feel in your right, that's where your hamstring attaches. And that's where it's really, really common to get pain. So you can get a tendinopathy up at that upper point of your hamstring.
So it's just an irritated tendon where it inserts into the bone, basically.
Yeah, basically. And it's really important to understand how irritable it is. It's really common to get a mildly irritated tendon here and there. But when these hamstring tendons become irritated and stay irritated for more than a couple of weeks, they become a tendinopathy, which is a physiological process that happens inside the tendon, which slows you down, which hurts, which is really, really uncomfortable. So when we're talking hamstring tendon, if you're thinking, oh, I might have that, it's definitely characterized by pain sitting on it, pain trying to run fast, pain trying to run uphill, and pain after a run.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often you can just trot along and do like a nice slow, easy jog, and usually they don't give you too much grief. But when you try and unleash, try and run fast uphill, try and just do an interval session or a race or something, that's when these things really, really grab you. And then also after you finish your run, sitting down, you sit down for an hour, you sit in the car, you drive home, and that's when these things throb.
Yeah, because then you start moving again and has had time, sort of the information has a time to pop its head up and like settle in. And then you start moving and like, oh God.
Oh, that's sore.
That's pretty sore when I move.
Yep. So it is an overuse injury. That's what it is. As all tendon injuries are, we know that the role of the hamstrings is to bend the knee and also extends the hip. So you use your hammies heaps when you run.
Yeah. So if you don't do those things in running, you're not running.
Yeah. When you're running, you use your hammies. Now, the unique thing about the proximal hamstring tendon is you sit on it quite a lot. So you literally compress it. And when a tendon is irritated, it hates to be compressed. This goes for any tendon in your body.
But the thing is, your proximal hamstring tendon is the only tendon you actually sit on.
Yeah.
You don't sit in your Achilles. You don't sit on your knees. You don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're like redoing the house and putting down tiles, you can get the patella tendon can get irritated.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah.
Not really.
So we compress it. So
a lot.
And if you go for long drives, that won't help. So tendons don't like compression. Tendons also don't like being stretched. And when you sit down, you're inevitably stretching your proximal hamstring tendon as well. So when you're standing up straight, your tendon is on zero stretch. But when you sit down, you bend your legs up, and that in itself is stretching the tendon. So if tendons don't like two things, they don't like to be compressed and they don't like to be stretched. When you sit down, you're compressing it in a stretch position. It's like, if you have an irritated hamstring tendon, that's the best way to know about it.
Yeah.
To keep it irritated. So that's not how you injure it, and it's not what will make it worse. It's just what hurts. So sometimes it feels like it's in your glute. A lot of time people say it's a glute issue. I can feel it there. Sometimes it actually almost like radiates up into your lower back. Sometimes it radiates down lower into your knee. So it's this kind of funny little thing which can masquerade as different issues. But you know about it. Like as soon as someone says, yeah, I do a bit of running and it hurts to sit on in the car long drives, I'm like, until proven otherwise, it's your hamstring tendon.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking, all right, cool, this is probably me. How do I know if it's actually me? There are three things to do. So if it's really, 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 really pissed off and really irritated, then simply standing up and bending over to touch your toes might trigger a bit of an awareness. If that does, congrats, you have a really irritated hamstring.
Congrats, probably not the main word I would use, but well done.
Congrats, you just booked an online physio session with Pat Mack. The other two things which are more reliable and a bit more specific is laying on your back and doing a bridge on one leg. So a bridge is just where you're laying on your back, you've got your knees bent up and your feet on the ground, and you push through your feet and you lift your ass up in the air. That's a bridge. If you do a bridge on one leg and it hurts, cool, that might be another sign you've got a hamstring tendon. If you put your foot up on a couch, so you raise your foot up on a chair or a couch or something and do the bridge there, that will load the hamstring tendon up more, so that will help. But the number one thing I've found when someone has a hamstring tendon, the number one thing which seems to trigger it is if you just stand up with your back to a wall and you push your heel back into the wall. So if it's if your left leg is the sore leg, you'll stand on your right and you'll just push your left heel back into the wall. And that will usually really, really, really trigger it. If that gets it, you can pretty much say you've got a hamstring tendon issue.
Yeah. So I've done those three tests. Let's say I can touch my toes fine.
Yeah.
No pain. I do a bridge with my legs raised. Like, don't want to do it because it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Push my heel into the wall. I'm like, yeah, definitely. There it is.
Yep.
Can feel that. I've diagnosed myself with a hamstring tendinopathy.
So these three, they're all diagnostic tests, but they'll give us an insight into how irritable it is. And that's the big, most important thing with a tendon is how irritated it is, how overloaded. If you push your heel into the wall and you go, oh, yeah, like I do feel it. It does trigger that area. It's not killing me. It's not that painful, but I can definitely feel it. I would say that's a pretty like non-irritable hamstring tendon. Whereas if you stand up, you push your heel into the wall and you get like a zing, like an 8 out of 10 pain in your butt, and then it lingers, cool, you have a very irritable hamstring tendon.
Is it safe to say that if it's that sore that you won't be loving running at that time?
Yeah, that tends to correlate with it hurts to run.
Yeah, well, if it's not really irritated, you can still run in it, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, it's all right. Yeah. It's not 0 out of 10,
yeah,
but it's there.
Yeah.
And if it's sort of quote-unquote non-irritable,
yeah,
then you can still run in it.
Absolutely.
But the pain will get worse as it becomes more irritated.
Exactly.
And then you'll stop yourself from running if it gets too bad.
Exactly.
So that's also another gauge where you go, oh, I can still run. It doesn't really hurt too much. And generally it flares up a bit afterwards.
Exactly. And it's a very gray area in terms of can I run, should I run, how much can I run on this injury. I look at it in terms of how does it feel during the run, how does it feel like an hour, 2 hours later when you've cooled down, and how does it feel the next day?
Mm.
So if you can run and during the run you're like, meh, it's like a 1 or 2 out of 10 pain, it's there and it's not getting worse throughout the run, that's a big tick, that's good. If 2 hours after the run you've cooled down and you're sitting around and it's not worse, that's a big tick. And then the next day when you're just walking around, going about your normal day-to-day life the next day, if it's not worse as a result of the run, that's your third tick. That means you can run on this hamstring.
Mm.
If you don't tick one of those boxes, say if you're running and it's getting worse throughout the run, cool, that's a big cross. You shouldn't run on that.
Stop running.
Same thing for the next day. If you go for a run and you're fine during, you're fine after, but the next day you're like, whoa, this thing hurts, cool, that's a cross. You probably shouldn't run on that.
Mm.
And that's just an insight into these. That you can use that rule for every single tendon issue with running.
It's like whatever tendon issue you have, you can apply the same rules.
Yeah, exactly. And there's that. So that's like how to determine if you should run on it that day. And then we also apply that over like a 2 week period.
Yeah.
And we say, is it tending to get better over 2 weeks or is it tending to get worse over 2 weeks? If it's tending to get better, fuck yeah, congrats. Like you're managing a tendon well.
Yeah.
If it's tending to get worse, you have to do something different. That might be do more rehab. It might be back off your running. It might be aggressive some other way, but we have to change what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's what goes through our minds when we're looking at this.
And then there's a few rules around tendons. In the way we like if it's an irritated tendon, there's a few things we want to do with it and a few things we don't want to do with it.
Yeah.
I think tendon, the biggest thing is you don't want to stretch it, as we said before.
Yeah.
Because stretching generally makes it worse. It feels good initially.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
and nice. It can actually feel nice.
Yeah.
And it quite often it feels satisfying because you'll feel it in that spot. Like it triggers it. You're like, oh, that I can feel it. I'm doing something good. It doesn't, like it might give you 5 minutes of relief.
But it's not like that. It can actually make it worse.
It can.
Long term.
It's more likely to make it worse.
The other thing is we don't want to do is we don't want to completely rest it and do nothing about it and go, oh, it hurts, I'm just going to not do anything for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
It'll feel better.
Yeah.
100%. You'll be like, oh, sweet. But you start running again, maybe a second run back, you'll go, oh, there it is again. Yeah. Because you've not dealt with the problem.
Yeah.
You've just dealt with the load.
Yeah,
exactly. It's deloaded it, which is good, but it's not the solution to the problem.
Exactly. So you want to, most, just about every single tendon issue needs relative rest, and that's based on the irritability. So if you are so irritable that you can't do a bridge, even walking it hurts and it hurts all the time, then I'm thinking you need a significant decrease in running. Maybe completely stop running, maybe not, depending on the person. But if it's not that irritable, you can just like go from 5 runs a week down to 4 runs a week, and that might be enough of a deload to have a good effect.
Or you might just, if you normally do 2 hard sessions a week, you might go, I'm just only going to do 1 hard session a week. Or
yeah, or just jog for a couple of weeks.
Just
yeah.
not do any hard sessions for the next 2 weeks and just deload it that way.
Exactly. So once we've worked out how irritable it is, how much load you can tolerate through your running, like essentially the way to fix it is to get your loading right. Mm. If you do too little loading, it might feel better because you're resting it, but then you're not making it stronger, you're not making it more resilient, so you're not preventing this thing from coming back. So that's if you do too little load. If you do too much load, it'll just hurt.
Like you're loading it too much.
Yeah. So the secret with these is get the loading right. That loading is in terms of running load and exercise load, like rehab type load.
And
we have to balance those.
And it's like it is a bit of a process finding out where you are.
Mm.
And it is. It's okay to experiment. Even for us, we don't get it right straight away.
No.
We don't go, oh, I've met you 5 minutes ago. This is what you need to do.
Exactly.
Because we need to find out these things as well.
Yeah. And if your physio or your therapist says that, they've fucking got no idea.
And if, like, because that's the thing. If they can fix you in one session, they haven't fixed you.
Yeah.
Because we need to get to know you, get to know how it responds to certain loads to go, oh, we played it too safe there, let's do a bit more.
Exactly.
Oh, we overstepped a bit there because it got more irritated. Yeah. Let's pull back on this a bit.
When I see a patient once and then I send them away with like homework with things to do and they come back and they say, yeah, it was all fine, it didn't hurt, it was all good, I'm almost disappointed because it means I didn't push you hard enough. But if someone comes back and says, yeah, like, fuck, that was sore, like I felt it, then like I felt that, it was hard, but I'm not in more pain, I'm like, cool, that's where you want to be with your rehab.
And then sometimes we go and we send people away with a few exercises and they send us an email 3 days later and go, oh, it actually really hurts now.
Yeah.
And that happens.
Yeah. And that's us understanding how irritable it is and how much load it can
and
take.
Yeah, and normally that happens in the early stages to figure out, oh, where are we, what do we need to do, what's the right amount of load?
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Cool. That's exactly, and you want to be like pushing it without causing too much pain.
Because generally what we do with tendons is like, 2, 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
10 being the worst pain ever, 0 being nothing. If it's a 3,
that's how you
want to work. That's sort of a good area to work in.
Mm.
You want to stress it a bit, but like you don't want to go too far on that.
And you almost don't want it to be pain-free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like a little bit of tolerable pain.
Yeah.
And there's actually really good research coming out now. Like this is super recent stuff, that it is better to rehab things within your pain tolerance rather than pain-free.
Yeah.
So like some tough nuts have a really big pain tolerance, and if they're rehabbing something within their pain tolerance, it might be not within someone else's pain tolerance, but they'll still probably get better.
Yeah, so within your own pain tolerance. And this is limited to certain injuries.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a bone stress, don't...
That's basically the one thing where we want you to be pain-free.
Yeah.
If you're coming back from a stress fracture, pain-free is the goal.
Exactly.
If you've got a tendon issue, tolerable pain is the goal.
Yeah, exactly. So try not to make this a blanket rule.
Yeah, exactly.
And talk to your health professional.
Hi. We're doing online consults.
So, okay, I've got a hamstring tendon. I know how irritated it is. I know I can run a bit. So what do I do? What are the things I can do to at home, actionable, if I do these exercises? What sort of load do I put into it?
It depends whether it's like really sensitive to stretch, really sensitive to compression, or not really sensitive. You always want to be doing some kind of hamstring strength. You can do, I think it's relatively safe to start doing things like bridges. There's about 10 different varieties. So bridges with your feet on the ground, if they're too easy, bridges with your feet raised up on a chair or a couch.
Or single leg
bridges, yep. And they're surprisingly difficult. You see someone do them, they don't look that hard, but they're hard.
Yeah.
That, and then we move into more hip hinging deadlift type patterns. So like, yeah, a deadlift, a one leg deadlift or an arabesque is quite, you know, puts a lot of load through a hamstring tendon.
Even without any, just body weight.
Yeah.
You don't need to grab heavy weight to do that.
Yeah.
Especially in initial stages.
Yeah. So I like those quite a bit to really target the hamstring tendon. But then in addition to that, if you're not too irritable, we just want more overall body load resilience. I just want to get strong in general. So, yeah, we're talking like do some squats, do some lunges, calf raises, like big, good strength for a runner. The more you can make yourself globally resilient, the better you're going to be.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing I just – which that brings me to is how do you avoid getting this shit in the first place? You just are strong.
Yeah.
People who deadlift – are so much less likely to get hamstring tendon
injuries. Exactly.
You just got to be strong. So the people who do squats, you know, lunges, deadlifts, that sort of stuff regularly, they just don't get these issues. Like, I don't think I can ever recall a runner coming into my clinic saying, hey, yeah, this is my issue. I've got this hamstring tendon. And very, very rarely, I don't think ever, have they said, yeah, I go to the gym twice a week and do strength.
Yeah.
Like, those people don't get these issues.
Or they do twice a week strength and do push-ups and shoulder press. And
yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, lower body strength.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how you don't get these things. There are certainly other factors like managing your training load appropriately and recovery and all those things we know about. But people who are resilient and have strong tissues don't tend to get these as much. It's just a fact of the matter.
Yeah. So do strength training, basically.
Again, surprise. That's hammy tendons.
Yeah.
If anyone has any of those issues, we can manage them super effectively remotely as well. So, like, reach out and we're happy to guide you
with that sort of thing. It might just be deloading your running. It might be adding a bit of strength. It's probably going to be adding a bit of strength.
Yeah.
And just managing it so it settles so you can then go back to normal.
Exactly, yeah,
sure. And, like, you can apply this same thing to any tendon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an Achilles tendinopathy, same rules.
Yeah.
Slightly different exercises.
Yeah.
But the same rules apply to this.
Exactly.
Shall we just quickly touch on George's adductor?
Her groin?
Like her groin.
Yeah.
George's groin might have been strained. She said, I might have pulled a tendon. Georgia, if you've pulled a tendon, you would not think you might have pulled a tendon. You would not be walking. If you can still walk, great. It's not a tendon.
Yeah.
It's probably like a muscle strain.
I don't know Georgia or anything.
Neither do I.
But like from the message. So basically if it's like groin pain that's come on after a run, again, like it's a super interesting one. We'd want to know straight away if it's a groin tendon or a groin muscle, kind of where you feel. That really kind of dictates exactly what you need to do for the next like couple of days. If it's muscle, I just jump on the foam roller. Like
jump on a foam roller.
Big time.
See what you can tolerate in regards to, you know, movement.
Yeah.
Like where does it hurt? When does it hurt? And then it's pretty similar. Start loading it a bit.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if running hurts, don't run on it.
I was going to say, wait for it. Don't run.
But if it's like a one or a two, you can do a bit of jogging. You might just need to back off on change of direction stuff or really hard running.
Exactly. And it's the same system we talked about with the hamstring tendon. If it's tolerable during, it doesn't get worse after, and it doesn't get worse the next day, you can run on it.
Yeah.
But if it's a muscle tear, you won't be able to run 10 meters, or you'll know within 10 meters, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
That's a muscle tear. If it's just like if it's muscle tightness, you might feel uncomfortable, but it will probably loosen up, and that's good if it gets better throughout a run. If it's a tendon, then that's a different like kettle of fish. And basically, listen to the whole podcast again, but substitute hamstring for adductor.
Yeah,
and then there's your solution.
Yeah, and then just I would say strength is to go again. Yeah. A bit of adductor strength.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how you prevent it, and that's how you manage it long term.
Yeah. What you can start doing now.
Yeah.
If running hurts, see what you can do. A bit of a slider. See how that feels.
Yep. Sideways lunges.
Sideways lunges. See how that feels.
I think although the big thing with Georgia is because this has just popped up recently, and this is actually I should have said this right at the start actually, but if something's acute and something's just popped up, you want to get this sorted now. So it's this. any acute injury, you should get seen to pretty much straight away so that you know the approach you should do. If someone comes to me and says, I've had this injury for 2 days, I'm like, sweet, whatever it is, we can fix it.
Yeah.
Someone comes in and says, I've had this for 2 months. I'm like, okay, this will be a little bit harder. We're going to need to do some deloading, some rehabs and whatever. So I would get a nice diagnosis, like as soon as you can, and then find someone who can help you out.
Yeah, and again, get in touch if you like need help.
Yeah.
Because we can, like even like an adductor strain, we can rehab that online.
Oh, yeah, easy. Easy, for sure. I may as well say it, a super quick test. Lay on your back, put your knees up, put a pillow in between your knees and squeeze the pillow as hard as you can. And if it hurts, yeah, that's get in touch.
Get in touch, yeah.
Yeah, if that doesn't hurt, then you're significantly safer.
Yeah, if that hurts, let us know.
Yeah.
Email us again. Yeah, I think that's it.
Probably.
Doctors, we can like rage on for hours because there's so many other things to say. But I think that's the gist of it.
Boom. Sick one. I hope everyone's keeping safe and sensible.
Yeah.
In COVID. Shout out if you want to say hi and want to say good day, and we'll always have to chat.
Yeah, more than happy to chat. And apologies to Mel. I was supposed to be on a call about 5 minutes ago, so I'll jump on in like 5 minutes. But by the time you hear this, it's like the next day, so it's fine.
Sweet. Thanks, legends. Take care, and we'd love to hear from you. See you next time.
Cheers.